Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, listeners. I'm your host, Amara, and this is Black Girl Gone, a true crime podcast.
On this episode of Black Girl Gone, I tell the story of Jeffrey Lynn Smith, a 16-year-old girl who disappeared from Hot Springs, Arkansas on December 4th, 1985. The day she vanished, Jeffrey was last seen walking home from school with her boyfriend, but she never made it back to her house. When her family reported her missing, police categorized her as a runaway and did very little to find the missing teen. 39 years later, Jeffrey is still missing, and her family is still searching for answers. What happened to Jeffrey Lynn Smith, and who is responsible for her disappearance? This is Jeffrey's story. I am crying for the little girl lost. How could you disappear one day? No one gives it a second thought. No one loses sleep at night, except us, your loved ones. I am crying for the little girl lost. Are you still breathing and thinking at all? Or are you in heaven above, looking down on us? Will we ever know what happened to you? Or will we take this pain to our graves? I am crying for the little girl lost, wishing that I could hold you in my arms, praying for your safe return as a woman or child, hoping that the world would wake up to help the little girl lost find her way home. That poem, titled Little Girl Lost, was written by the sister of Jeffrey Lynn Smith, Lisa, who was 19 years old when Jeffrey vanished on her way home from school. And in the decades that followed Jeffrey's disappearance, her family has dedicated their lives to finding answers and bringing Jeffrey home. But like so many families of missing Black women, Lisa and her family found themselves alone in their fight. Jeffrey never got national media attention, and when she was initially reported missing, the police classified her as a runaway. But 39 years later, Jeffrey has never been found. And the mystery about what happened to her on December 4th, 1985, remains. Jeffrey Lynn Smith was born on October 12th, 1969, in Arkansas, and was one of four children. Those of you listening may be thinking that Jeffrey is not a common name for a girl, but her name has a unique origin, one that is connected to a former U.S. president. In the 60s, Jeffrey's mom, Clarice Smith, was working as a housekeeper for Virginia Kelly and her husband, Jeffrey Dwyer, the mother and stepfather of Bill Clinton. Clarice said that when she was pregnant, she wasn't sure if she was going to have a boy or a girl, and because Virginia and her husband did not have children together, they asked if she would name her child Jeffrey. Virginia, Bill Clinton's mom, was also an anesthesiologist who worked at the hospital where Jeffrey was born and was assigned to Clarice during her labor. During her time as an employee for Virginia and Jeffrey, Clarice had developed a close relationship to the family. By the time she began working for them, Bill Clinton was away at school, and she said that she would interact with him when he would come home during breaks from school. She, of course, had no idea that he would go on to become the 42nd president of the United States. But growing up, Jeffrey did not like her name, and so she preferred to go by her middle name, Lynn. Having a quote-unquote boy's name was probably hard for her as a child, We know kids can be mean, and anything different can be a target for bullies. The family lived in the town of Hot Springs, Arkansas, located about an hour outside Little Rock, and known for its naturally heated springs. As a child, Jeffrey grew up in a tight-knit family. Her sister said that they were all very close. Her family described her as a well-mannered young lady who loved to get her hair done and go shopping. In school, she was a good student who dreamed of becoming an Olympic swimmer or gymnast one day. As she got older, Jeffrey grew into a responsible teenager who never gave her family any trouble. After her sister Lisa went away to college, she knew she wanted to follow in her footsteps after she graduated from high school. In October 1985, Jeffrey turned 16, a milestone birthday for a teenage girl. Her family had a birthday party for her that year to celebrate, and Lisa said that their mom gifted Jeffrey a gold ring with her birthstone, an opal in it, and she said her sister was very happy about this gift. Lisa said that the ring became Jeffrey's pride and joy after she received it. She never took it off. She said Jeffrey treated that ring like it was the crown jewels. As the year came to an end, 16-year-old Jeffrey and her family were getting ready for the Christmas holiday that was fast approaching. December 4th, 1985, started off as a normal day for Jeffrey and her family. She left home that morning and headed to school at Hot Springs High School, where she was in her sophomore year. After school ended, Jeffrey left school and began walking home. She was accompanied by her boyfriend at the time, a boy named Frank Hanna, and a girlfriend of Jeffrey's named Lisa. At around 3:30 p.m., as the threesome walked towards Jeffrey's house in the 1100 block of Illinois Avenue, Jeffrey's aunt spotted them walking down Silver Street, not far from where Jeffrey lived. Her aunt said that she stopped and asked the group if they wanted a ride, but they declined and told her they were fine. Now, shortly after being spotted by Jeffrey's aunt, Lisa said that she parted ways with Jeffrey and Frank and headed to her house as they continued towards Jeffrey's home. What happened next remains a mystery nearly 40 years later. Jeffrey, who had always been a responsible person and who knew what time she was supposed to be home, did not return that afternoon or that evening. And because of the lack of information around this case, it's not clear what time Jeffrey's parents contacted police. But Lisa, who was away at school, remembered her mom calling her the next morning after Jeffrey was last seen. Quote, "I remember getting the call from mom. She was crying so hard to the point of being almost inaudible. The crackling of her voice, I heard the words that no one would ever want to hear. Lynn did not come home last night." From the moment her family realized that she was missing, they knew in their gut that something was wrong. There was no way that Jeffrey would have just gone off on her own and not come back, and so they were 100% sure that something must have happened. After reporting Jeffrey missing, her family found themselves in an all-too-familiar situation. Despite Jeffrey having no history of running away, after receiving the report, police categorized her as a runaway. Being considered a runaway meant that there was no urgency on the behalf of police to try and find Jeffrey. That was left up to her family. And so they began their search, methodically combing through the area surrounding the spot where Jeffrey was last seen. Frank, Jeffrey's boyfriend, and the last person known to have seen her before her disappearance, willingly joined the frantic search efforts. Together with Jeffrey's family, they tirelessly retraced their steps, scouring every street, alley, and corner in the hopes of uncovering any clue, no matter how small, that might lead them closer to unraveling the mystery of Jeffrey's disappearance. With each passing hour, it seemed to stretch into eternity as they canvassed the neighborhood. They were determined to find Jeffrey, despite their growing sense of fear that was creeping in. Her family spoke to Lisa, who was also with her that afternoon, and she told them about the last time she saw Jeffrey walking home with Frank. There was nothing about that walk that raised red flags for Lisa, and she didn't tell Jeffrey's family anything that made them suspicious. Hot Springs is not some big city, and so someone had to have seen or heard something. There was no way that this 16-year-old could have just disappeared without a trace. But as the hours turned to days, it was becoming more and more clear to the Smith family that this was not going to be a simple situation. They tried to turn to local media for help in getting Jeffrey's story out to the public, but the media was not interested in picking up the story of what police said was a runaway. Now, Jeffrey's disappearance happened just weeks before Christmas, which only added to the sadness that her family felt. While everyone around them was shopping and enjoying the season, Jeffrey's family was living a real-life nightmare. Quote, "The contrast of the joyous holiday happenings and us wandering aimlessly in emotional pain made me feel as if I was having an out-of-body experience. This can't be happening. Please, please, somebody pinch me so I can awake from this nightmare. I want to wake to see Lynn sleeping across from me and smell aromas of Christmas dinner. Every night, I want to sleep crying with other cries from other rooms as the background noise. There was no Christmas music. There was no watching a Charlie Brown Christmas that year," Lisa recalled in a blog post that she wrote about her sister's disappearance. As the holiday season unfolded, Jeffrey's family clung desperately to the hope that they would receive a Christmas miracle, that Jeffrey would simply return to them, safe and sound, and walk through the door, bringing with her the joy and relief that they so desperately wanted. But as Christmas gave way to New Year's Day and into the cold reality of January, there was still no sign of Jeffrey. The once joyous occasion of ringing in the new year was marred by the haunting absence of their daughter and sister, casting a dark shadow over what would have been a time of celebration and renewal. With each passing day, their hopes were tested as they dealt with the agonizing uncertainty of Jeffrey's fate. Despite their hopes and prayers, the weeks turned into months, and still, there was no trace of her. Their pain only deepened as they faced the harsh reality that Jeffrey was still out there, somewhere, lost and alone. Adding to their pain was the glaring lack of urgency on the part of the Hot Springs police. Despite the pleas and petitions of Jeffrey's family, the authorities seemed content to remain idle. Their efforts to locate the missing 16-year-old girl were alarmingly, but not surprisingly, lacking. Each day that passed without significant action from law enforcement only served to further erode the family's trust and confidence in the very institutions that were entrusted with safeguarding them and their community. In the months following Jeffrey's disappearance, her family had done everything they could to locate any information that would lead to her whereabouts. But there was no way to know how long this never-ending journey would take. As time passed, her family began to look at the people in Jeffrey's life before she vanished, and despite his initial willingness to help search for Jeffrey, her family began to question whether or not Frank was involved. And when months after Jeffrey disappeared, a shocking discovery is made by police, their questions would turn to suspicion. Hair thinning is complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth does not cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as for different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. Physician-formulated with drug-free ingredients, Nutrafol supplements support healthy hair growth from within by targeting root causes of thinning, including stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, and metabolism as they evolve throughout a woman's life. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplements for 6 months. Take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code GIRLGONE. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code GIRLGONE. That's Nutrafol.com. Use promo code GIRLGONE.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On December 4th, 1985, 16-year-old Jeffrey Lynn Smith disappeared while walking home from school in Hot Springs, Arkansas. After she was reported missing, police classified her as a runaway and left her family to search for her on their own. In the weeks and months following Jeffrey's disappearance, there was no information about the missing teen. With police determining that she was a runaway, they were putting no resources into helping the Smith family. Quote, like many families of missing people, we did not feel as if we got the support of the local law enforcement during that time. Rather than having a thorough investigation, we had to resort to visiting psychics and questioning people on our own, Lisa later said about her family's experience dealing with the police. The Smith family not only felt like the police did not care, they thought that their behavior was cruel. Lisa recalled how her mother and stepfather got a call from the Hot Springs police a few months after Jeffrey disappeared. They told her parents that they had information about Jeffrey and asked them to come into the police station. After months of hearing nothing, Jeffrey's family prayed that the police had found something that would provide answers about what happened to their daughter and sister. Her family went to the local station, but police did not have any information about Jeffrey. It was a lie. They had tricked her parents into coming into the station so that they could arrest her stepdad on outstanding traffic warrants. It was a horrible thing to do to a grieving family. Lie about information about their missing child so that they could arrest her stepfather for traffic tickets? For Jeffrey's family, it solidified what they already knew. The police did not care about them or Jeffrey. After her disappearance, Frank, Jeffrey's then boyfriend, had been helpful in searching for her. Lisa said that in the days and weeks following her disappearance, quote, Frank stayed steadfast by our side during the initial searches. We would pick him up and he would ride all around together, looking for Lynn, Lisa wrote. But before her disappearance, Jeffrey and Frank had been having issues and she was thinking about breaking up with him. According to reporting, there were accusations that Frank was abusive to Jeffrey. With no other suspects or possible explanation, they wondered if Frank, the last person to see Jeffrey, had something to do with her disappearance. However, they had no evidence, and Frank had been by their side through this ordeal. But Everything changed when Jeffrey's parents received a call from the local police with shocking news. According to Lisa, several months after Jeffrey went missing, police called and told her parents that the beloved ring Jeffrey had gotten for her 16th birthday, the one she never took off, was found at a local pawn shop. And the person who sold it to the pawn shop was Frank Canna, Jeffrey's boyfriend. When her family learned that Frank had pawned Jeffrey's ring, they were convinced that he had something to do with Jeffrey's disappearance. After police learned about the pawn ring, they went to speak to Frank, but Lisa said that the interview was insufficient. Quote, the interview consisted of them standing at his door and asking him a question. They interviewed him for 5 minutes. My mom and dad sat outside the door and watched, Lisa told News One. Now, despite the huge red flag, police failed to thoroughly investigate Frank. The fact that the last person to see Jeffrey had pawned her ring didn't seem to faze police. It was pretty obvious that Frank knew more than he was saying, but the police had made the decision already that this case was not important. In the years following Jeffrey's disappearance, her family struggled to move on, haunted by the unknown. Lisa graduated from college, and eventually she and her mom relocated to Pennsylvania. They continued to hold out hope that they would find Jeffrey, but as the years turned to decades, Lisa began to realize that she was going to have to be the one to bring attention to her sister's story and find answers. In December 2005, 20 years after Jeffrey disappeared, Lisa and her mother Clarice returned to Hot Springs. And this time, she was met with a different attitude about her sister's case. Quote, I still had hopes of getting some much-delayed help. This time, they did help us. It was obvious to me that there was a new generation of officers and administrators at the Hot Springs Police Department who have compassion, and they showed their concern. They reopened her case, Lisa said. After years of hoping that someone would listen, Lisa and her mother finally had people that were willing to do what should have been done 20 years before. And once the case was reopened, Lisa was given access to police records from Jeffrey's case and discovered what she already knew. The police had done very little to investigate what happened to her sister. But she also learned some interesting things about Frank Canna in the years since. Frank had been arrested for domestic violence against two former girlfriends. One of those assaults had resulted in Frank serving jail time. Lisa managed to track down the women and they agreed to be interviewed. And Lisa turned over that information she learned to the police. In 2006, Lisa and Clarice were connected with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and they helped them upload their DNA into CODIS, the National DNA Database. In 2010, a massive search was organized and cadaver dogs were brought in to search a field near where Jeffrey was last seen, but no significant information turned up in the search. In the years after the case was reopened, it bounced around from detective to detective before eventually being assigned to Detective Leanne Clem in 2012. Quote, Detective Leanne Clem took my sister's cold case file and busted it wide open, looking at every detail, leaving no stone unturned. She subsequently interviewed countless people in an effort to connect the dots and find missing links. She even tracked down people in other states who were around at the time of my sister's disappearance in an effort to get more information. She has been diehard and very dedicated to solving this case over the last several years. But most importantly, she let my mother and I know that without a shadow of a doubt, my sister's life did matter, Lisa wrote. Unfortunately, the case was eventually reassigned again. And despite the case being reopened, no significant information came in about Jeffrey's disappearance. The lack of an initial investigation into what happened to her meant that decades later, there was very little for police to work with. Quote, the ball was dropped a long time ago. Had they done what they should have done, we would have had DNA. Now it's one of those situations where it is a matter of getting people to examine their conscience and break their silence. I'm sure there is someone who knows something. All I can do is keep moving. If I don't move, nothing will happen, Lisa said to News One. After being connected to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, Lisa began volunteering and dedicating her life to not only bringing Jeffrey home, but to helping other families of missing children. It's now been 39 years since Jeffrey disappeared on her way home from school. And for the people that loved her, it's just as painful as the day she vanished. It's not clear where the case stands as of today or whether or not it's still open, but Jeffrey's family has never given up finding out what happened to her. In the nearly four decades since she vanished, Jeffrey's family has come to terms with the fact that she most likely died. They believed that she was murdered. It's the only reasonable explanation for why she would be gone this long. The families of the missing share a common thread: the agony of not knowing, the inability to find any closure, and the never-ending questions. At 16 years old, Jeffrey Lynn Smith vanished without a trace. And her story, no matter how long it's been, no matter how cold it's gotten, deserves the attention it didn't get 40 years ago. Whoever was responsible for her disappearance could very well still be out there, and someone knows what happened to Jeffrey. Help bring closure to this family, and help them bring Jeffrey home. Jeffrey Lynn Smith was last seen December 4th, 1985, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, walking along Silver Street. She was 5'3", and at the time of her disappearance, weighed 110 pounds. She was last seen wearing a brown jacket, pink pants, and brown shoes. If you have any information about Jeffrey's disappearance, please call the Hot Springs, Arkansas Police Department.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Threads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.